section86.com. We're changing the world of podcasting one show at a time.
Shane Takes Over Raw, NXT Stars debut, and we talk WrestleMania weekend. All this and much, much more on this week's Off the Mark.
This is TNA Impact referee Brian Hebner, and you're listening to Off the Mark.
86 Productions.
Off the Mark, we are the podcast that provides the most in-depth insight and analysis into the world of professional wrestling. I am Andrew, he is Aaron, and we have Doug Hahn on the show. Let's start the show by discussing some recent news. So Blackjack Mulligan passes away. Aaron, what are your thoughts on this?
Yeah, it's really sad. He was in his 70s, though, so it's not like, you know, it was another example of a young wrestler passing away. But a lot of people may not know who he is. Now, he had a very short stint in the WWWF, and he also was a mainstay in the NWA promotions. But he is probably best known by a lot of people now as being the father-in-law of IRS and the grandfather of Bo Dallas and Bray Wyatt. And it's just, it is very unfortunate. He went into the hospital a couple of months ago, and Bo and Bray took the week off so they could spend some time with their grandfather before he passed. And it's just a very unfortunate turn of events. But, you know, luckily this is not a case of somebody overdosing or, you know, like we've talked about on so many of our shows, or somebody just passing away way before their time. You know, he had a pretty good life, but he definitely will be missed.
Yep, it is definitely a sad day. All right, so let's move on to Raw. So Shane Takes Over Raw. Well, it sounds like this is definitely going to be a one-night thing. Doug, do you think that Shane will continue to run Raw?
My idea is that Vince will come out and say that Shane didn't do a bad job, but eventually he'll come out, and then this will bring about the brand split somehow. Shane will be in charge of either SmackDown or Raw, with leaving Stephanie with the other one.
That would be interesting if they did it that way. Aaron, what do you think they're going to do?
I have a feeling that this is going to be a short-term thing, that they're going to have Shane run Raw maybe for a couple of weeks, and then Vince will come in and say, oh, nope, you didn't do good enough, I'm taking it back, you know, or we're giving it back to the authorities, something along those lines. That'd be my guess. But, you know, we'll see, you know, in the next few weeks.
Yeah, I hope that he does get to take over Raw. That would be really cool, at least in my eyes. And I hope that's what happens, but it's WWE, so we know that's not going to happen.
Well, what do you think, though, about the fact that he had that match against Undertaker, and then he gave him Raw anyway to run, at least for the time being? Isn't that kind of strange?
I think they did that because of the fans. They knew it seems at least the last two Raws after Mania have been crazy. And it might be going back further, but I know at least since the network, that Raw has been crazy. So I believe that they just did it as a one night thing, just so then the crowd cannot, you know, start all their chants or bring out a beach ball. That's what I think they really did it for. The one thing that surprised me was that Apollo Crews made his Raw debut. Aaron, do you think that this was a smart move to bring him up so fast?
I actually don't. And I like Apollo Crews a lot. I think Apollo Crews is quite a talent. You know, to be able to see what that big man can do. I mean, you know, he can do flips and he has a $1 million smile. He is absolutely fantastic. But I think that they didn't need to have him come up like this. I actually would have probably done it in a very different way. I would have probably had him stay down in NXT for a little bit longer. You know, unless they really expect a large influx of talent, which that might be why. And they think that maybe they need a new superstar on Raw. But I think that there's other people that should have come up before him. You know, I think about Finn or Joe. And I think those are two people that are definitely main roster ready. And nothing against Apollo Crews, because I love him. I think he's fantastic. But I think the focus should have been more on Enzo and Cass debuting as opposed to Apollo Crews debuting.
Yeah, and I completely agree. And the fact that they also, you know, Baron Corbin is officially on the main roster, I thought was a big misstep. But, you know, I guess this frustrates me more than anything. But, Doug, what do you think about this?
I think they, and Rogers said this when we were chatting earlier, We missed the vignettes. And I think that's one of the ways you could have brought up Apollo Crews is just, you don't necessarily have to bring him up on Raw, but coming soon to Raw, Apollo Crews. And you can start showcasing him or do a little bit of the, you know, almost that Mr. Perfect-esque where they showed videos of him outside the ring and doing all these wonderful things and cutting promos. And then all of a sudden when you bring him, now you don't just have the NXT fans cheering, but you also have other fans who are curious about Apollo Crews cheering or, you know, making their own opinion. So bringing up Apollo Crews right now, I don't know. I think he could have had at least a title run in NXT before I would have brought him up, just to give him a little bit more exposure still on NXT because he is still new even to NXT standards. So I am a big fan of Apollo Crews, and I hope he does very well.
Yes, I do agree with that. Now, the League of Booty, well, they turned on Wade Barrett, and this was crazy. I mean, Doug, did you really think – could you tell that when this match happened that this is what was going to happen?
Kind of, just because I knew that Wade Barrett was leaving the company soon. And you kind of saw that in what they were setting up. Every time the League of Nations was out there, Wade Barrett was the one that took the loss. If they ever lost, it was him taking the pin or the submission or whatever it was. He was the reason that they lost. It's a nice setup. I kind of had a good laugh at it, knowing that there are a lot of UK fans at WrestleMania and the Raw afterwards. So, you know, his little swan song goodbye is in front of a lot of his own fans. So I think he gave a nice little touch to it. And, you know, the na-na-na-na, hey-hey, goodbye was also, I think, appreciated by him. You could see the giant smile as he kind of broke kayfabe a couple times in that match.
Yeah, I think that was quite a fun match to be a part of. You know, we were doing the wave, and I actually rewatched Raw, and unfortunately, there was so much that was cut out, you know, that they went to commercial break, and so you didn't get to see or hear a lot of the stuff that was going on. But that Raw after Mania was so much fun. It is unfortunate that Wade Barrett is gone. I, you know, just like everyone here, thought that he was a tremendous talent, thought that he could do better than what he actually did. Unfortunately, he got hit with the injury bug, and you know that is quite unfortunate. But you know, I think he will be sorely missed. But he has a bright future in New Japan.
Yes, in New Japan, and I don't think he's going to go to TNA. But you never know. Never say never, right? That's the way to do it. My problem, and I think I said it before. I said it, I think, on our WrestleMania show. Miz defeated Ryder for the IC title. I didn't think it was going to be Miz that did it. I thought it was going to be someone else. But the fact that Ryder won the title at Mania was a big deal. And I was happy that he won at Mania. But then he turns it the following night and gives it right back to Miz. I'm sorry, to the Miz. And what was the other thing that happened during this match, Aaron?
Oh, are you talking about Maryse making her triumphant return?
Yeah, some random woman that came out from the crowd decided to get into the ring and... That was about it. I mean, we pretty much knew what was going to happen.
And, you know, from where we were sitting, I actually thought it was a fan at first. I don't know if you guys thought that too, but I was like, whoa, what's that woman doing just jumping the guardrail there? And then when they showed on the screen, I was like, oh, that's Maryse. And, you know, we were pretty close, but it was actually kind of a cool moment. It was a fairly decent match. It is unfortunate that Ryder had lost the IC title so quickly. I actually listened to our pre-WrestleMania special or post-WrestleMania special, and I said he's probably going to hold it for like a month or two. I obviously really overestimated that, you know, being only one day. Doug, do you think that it's a misstep to give the title to The Miz?
I don't think it's necessarily a misstep to give it to The Miz. I think it's a misstep to take it off of Ryder. 24 hours away from when he won it. That, I believe, is the big injustice of it. Let Ryder have it. I mean, yes, he had his WrestleMania moment, but let him have the title for a little bit. You know, is a Miz-Ryder feud going to pan out? I don't mind it. I like Miz as a heel. I like Ryder. It's going to be a short-term fix, but I see Miz holding on to it for maybe a little bit longer until they can finally figure out what they're going to do with the IC title. I am happy, though, that Kevin Owens is now moving on from the IC title into other stuff. We'll leave it at that for right now.
Yeah, which is something that I'm surprised they didn't even mention, the fact that Owens had the title and then he didn't have the title, and there's nothing saying that, oh, I'm going to get my rematch clause. There's nothing that's been said about that. So I'm wondering, where are they going to go from that, or if he's just going to be like, eh, I don't need to do it, or I'm just going to go straight to the world title. I mean, that's the only thing I can't figure out right now, but oh well. So I think the biggest debut that happened, and it was interesting because while you're live, there's things that you do not see that's on TV. Like, for instance, the Dudleys never went back. And I was trying to figure out, why haven't they gone to the back yet? And they, you know, they were messing with the announcers, and they kind of just sit there, and all of a sudden we hear Enzo and Cass's music hit, and I was going nuts. I could see you guys. You guys were going nuts, too. I was like, oh, my gosh, they actually debuted. And, I mean, Aaron, what are your thoughts on the seeing the debut of them?
I love Enzo and Cass. I think that they are quite fantastic as a tag team. Those two together are just they are money. And I actually think that they should have got called up sooner. I really do. I think that they could have made a larger impact on Raw. But, you know, where they're at right now, they're going to have a money feud with the Dudleys, probably going to go on for about 2 months. I would think, you know, you already have the match set up now for the pay-per-view coming up, Payback, and then you could even have it due for Extreme Rules. And I think that what I would do is I would have them in a program for that for a couple of months, move on to another heel tag team, then another one, have them work their way up, and then maybe at next year's WrestleMania, have them win the tag titles off of whatever heel team has it at that time. You know, have the New Day drop it, but have Enzo and Cass get their huge moment at WrestleMania. That's what I would do.
And Doug, do you think that's a good idea?
I don't think it's going to last that long. I think they're going to get their moment and possibly the titles at SummerSlam. I think that's where they'll get their big moment, just because they never held the NXT championship. So you've got to – I mean, the popularity is going to be behind them. Your issue is going to be who's going to take it off of the New Day, though, to kind of counteract that aspect of – so you don't have face versus face. But you know, I still would love to look at that. You know, Xavier Woods on the mic versus Enzo on the mic. That would be a dream situation for me, looking at the tag titles right now. But yeah, as you said, as soon as I saw the Dudleys staying out there, we had been speculating that they were going to debut on Monday Night Raw, especially when we didn't see them at NXT. We didn't see them at Access. We didn't see them at WrestleMania. Surely they're going to make their debut on Raw. And sure enough, as soon as I saw the Dudleys there, I turned to Roger and go, watch this. This is Enzo and Cass. And sure enough, that's who comes out. And they do a wonderful job. And I've never seen so many people. Just the whole crowd was into the SAWFT. And it was a beautiful moment.
Yeah, and I agree. And you could just tell, I mean, just seeing the crowd, and I know it's a, you know, a Mania crowd, but just seeing everyone get into it, they're like, wow, these guys finally have made it to the main roster. I thought it was great. I thought the entire segment was great, and I'm looking forward to see what they do from here. My only beef about the whole thing, I wish Carmella was with them. That's the only thing I think they're missing, but
I think it's actually better without. I think that way the focus is on just those two. And if Carmella does well in NXT, you know, as a single star, I think that if she came up and joined them, that would be fine. But I would rather have the focus on just those two.
Okay. I you know, that is another way of looking at it. I think Carmella will eventually come up, but, you know.
Andy, you can disagree with me. It's okay.
I know. I'm trying not to be mean about it, but I think you're wrong, 100% wrong.
That's fine.
I think you're like 50% wrong in all seriousness. Because right. I do like the fact that, yes, you're putting the focus on them, but I think that she should have been there to a certain extent. But I guess, you know, saying that, I see your point, but, you know, whatever. Are you looking forward to? Yeah, I'm agreeing with you no matter what. Anyways, did you like the fact that we got to see the Primo and I guess you can't think of his name now.
Epico.
And Epico, they're the fact that they're going to be a new tag team.
Yeah, I really can't wait to see those two feud with Los Matadores. I think that's going to be a money feud.
I think so. I think so too. You know, something that happened actually that we did talk about is the fact that, you know, at one point they had four guys come out and they started battling it with Roman Reigns in the ring. And Sami Zayn did a flip, which people said he hurt his shoulder. I saw, as Aaron was saying to us. But then Kevin Owens did a spot where he throws Zayn through a table, which I don't think it was the table. I think it was the cardboard that he threw at him is what really hurt him. So he was not medically cleared because of that. But so they come out with for the four-way dance, and someone returns. And Doug, who is this person that returned?
It is the return of the non-energetic and man, I really wish Roger was here to tell you how he could not get over with the people, Mr. Cesaro.
Can't connect with the fans is just a cannot. Stupid millennial. It's absolutely terrible.
Yeah,
God, I hope he grabs that brass ring sometime soon.
The funny thing is when he came out, he was still in his suit, and I was like, oh, so they're going to introduce, and I thought at that time, Samoa Joe, but instead he gets out there and just, I don't know how, I haven't watched this part on TV yet, but he just went out there and just ripped his clothes off and went into the ring, and wrestled a great four-way dance, and fatal four-way, of course, and Aaron, who won the number one contender?
Well, AJ Styles won despite losing to Jericho at WrestleMania. He was able to pin him the following night on Raw. And it was a really crazy match. Great match. I think we all were expecting Jericho to win, to have a Jericho, you know, heel Jericho go against a quote unquote face Roman. But I am really curious about what's going to happen now with AJ and Roman, because AJ is a clear face. AJ is a fan favorite. The percentage of people booing him is probably maybe like 1%. It's like the hipster crowd, you know, that goes there ironically. But AJ is a clear face. Roman Reigns, on the other hand, is not a clear face. And, you know, at WrestleMania, at Raw, he was booed. He was just emphatically booed. At Raw, I would say maybe 10% of the people cheered him. Maybe. And the rest were boos. You can hear it on Raw. They didn't really turn the mics down that much. And people just hated Roman. So I don't know if this match even happens. I have a feeling that payback, it's going to be Triple H versus Roman Reigns. Maybe AJ Styles takes him on at the next pay-per-view, but my guess would be either he takes him on at a Raw or he loses his number one contenders match.
Eh, I don't know about that. What do you think, Doug?
It's going to be interesting, and I pray that what Aaron is speculating happens is that he'll lose the number one contenders match somehow, just because I don't want to see him get fed up to Roman Reigns. We're all big AJ Styles fans here. He is the phenomenal one, and I do not want to see him get put into and buried by Roman Reigns' push. He doesn't need to be pushed. I think it's been said enough on this podcast how much I hate Roman Reigns. The push isn't there. The push shouldn't be there. The push should be for AJ Styles. The push should be for other people that fans are getting behind and can put on a good match. AJ Styles versus Jericho was still a great match at WrestleMania. It's kind of getting overdone. But I can see them doing this where, you know, they're going to have Y2J come out and say, well, he should be the number one contender because he beat AJ Styles. And we're going to keep running with that feud forever more until finally something stops or they feed AJ to a KO or bring up Samoa Joe or something else that AJ can have a decent feud with. This is going to be a one and done, I'm afraid. And it's going to be, you know, putting over Roman more than it ever does AJ Styles.
Now, Aaron, you did say something about the three-way dance. That could happen. But here's the thing. It's in Chicago. And that's why I think that if you're going to basically turn Roman heel at that time, you're going to do it in Chicago because they're going to boo Roman Reigns either way. And they're going to cheer for AJ Styles. So why not do it that way?
And if that's the case, I totally agree. I think then he is going heel. But I'm so confused from a standpoint, from a WWE standpoint. Why did they turn down the mics when Roman came out at WrestleMania? Why did they turn down the mics on SmackDowns? Why do they try to put him? Why do they try to protect him as much as possible so that way the fans just get even more fed up with this and they just boo him even more? Like I'm curious if there is a master plan behind this where at Chicago he takes the chair out and, you know, beats AJ Styles by, you know, cheating. And then he laughs about it, you know, in Chicago, boos him out of the building. And the next night on Raw, he comes out, he's like, yeah, I was able to beat that internet darling AJ Styles. He was so terrible. You know, and he's like more of a heel, but he's still technically a babyface. If that's the route they go, I'm actually okay with that. You know, like, I know that AJ is going to lose. I know that for a fact. Either the match doesn't happen or AJ loses. I know that for a fact. But if it serves a bigger purpose, I'm okay with it. Because AJ Styles said, you know, I can't wait to knock that chip off his shoulder. You know, that to me sounds like, oh, maybe, you know, they're actually going for something here. I don't know.
Yeah, I think that'll end up really happening is that it'll be Styles, Reigns, but Reigns will win by DQ by pulling out the chair. And they may do like a TLC or a chairs match is what I think will end up happening. But
oh, at Extreme Rules?
Well, yeah, because then you could have the program go on for a little bit longer. Mm-hmm. And then maybe I would say that Reigns will probably actually keep the title till SummerSlam when Trips says, hey, I want to wrestle again. And then that's when, you know, he'll get his revenge. But, oh, well, it'll be interesting to really see what they do, especially since it's in Chicago. And then the following night's going to be, of course, at the Scott Trade. I think it's the Scott Trade Arena in St. Louis is the next one. Mm-hmm. So, which will be fun. It's a nice, easy drive for them, you know, right down 55. So, anyway, so let's thank our sponsor, HostGator. Are you a blogger or podcaster, or are you just not happy with your web host? You need to check out HostGator.com. You're going to find web hosting made easy and affordable. HostGator offers unlimited disk space, unlimited bandwidth, one-click strip installs with a free side builder, hands-on the best control panel out there. Stop by today and try a free demo to see how easy it is. And if you use the special coupon code OFFTHEMARK, you're going to save 25% off your web hosting packages. So what do you got to lose? Check out HostGator.com and take a bite out of your web hosting costs. Also, make sure you check out Section 86's Off the Mark page and click on the banner at the top to say big on items from WWEshop.com. So let's talk about WrestleMania weekend. Aaron, it started off, actually, no, Doug, it started off with us leaving around, I think it was like 12:30 on that Thursday, which was the 31st. And we drove all the way to Oklahoma City is when it really started. And then we were just we talked about it in the car so many times. We're going to be at NXT tomorrow night. So that was really fun. I mean, I guess starting off with the drive, was the drive okay for you?
Drive was fine. Breaking it up like that, that was probably the best idea that we had, just to give us that even that little bit of, you know, be not necessarily there, but that the buildup of the excitement of actually still being waking up and going there and finally getting to Dallas. But you're right, with that idea of knowing that we were about 24 hours away from NXT by the time we got to Oklahoma City, just – the excitement was building up, and I couldn't wait to finally get there and see it.
And Aaron, when we picked you up, you didn't wait very long, did you?
Not too long, you know, just a few minutes. But yeah, you guys were there to pick me up. We went straight to the hotel. We got our rooms, and then we went back to get Roger.
Then Doug unpacked, and then we got new rooms.
Yeah, we had a small snafu with the rooms. But they went ahead and upgraded us for free. So. Thank you, Share 10.
Travel package.
So, but we got Roger, went back to the hotel, went to NXT. And in fact, we actually came in at the tail end of the Apollo Crews match. But the NXT event was really great. Of course, we recorded another show about it, which was really great to listen to. So definitely check it out. But one of the big things that happened, though, that we haven't talked about yet is Access. And Access was pretty cool. It wasn't as big as other cons I've been to. Doug, obviously, I know you've been to quite a few. Andy, you've been to a couple as well. It wasn't as big as some of the other ones, but it made up for that with a lot of the other things that had there. A couple of things that I really enjoyed. I liked the fact that there was a wrestling match going on quite often. They had signings. They had a memorabilia area. They had places to take your picture. A couple things. I love the memorabilia stuff. That to me, those are things that I just adore. I love going to museums and watching documentaries about things, you know, that I'm a little nostalgic about. But I would love in the future to see more of that. And I actually like getting the pictures taken. There's some photos that I've shared with you guys already at the announce desk was kind of cool. You know, the Slammy Award, I wish we could have got the Undertaker one. Unfortunately, we were unable to, but You know, there was a lot of cool things there. Doug, what was your favorite part of Access?
I loved the for me, I hate standing in line waiting for autographs. Honestly, I really, really do. It's just too long of a line just to get one autograph. So that was my big downfall of Access. But when I went to the Royal Rumble one in Phoenix, that's what they had, though, is they had the ring set up and they had that nice little tournament. So it was nice to see that they still continued that. And they had some of the up-and-comers of NXT, people you don't necessarily see on the show, but are still trying to make their spot, the ones that are going to make it to the house shows. And it was nice to see them and also know that there is even some talent on NXT that hasn't been showcased on the TV show that will eventually get the call up to the show once some of the other ones move up to the main roster. So NXT is in good shape, I believe. And you also got to see a lot of a different side of the NXT wrestlers that were at Access that you don't normally see on TV. Who knew that the Revival had actually, you know, a personality? That was huge. Who knew that Blake from Blake and Murphy has a personality? You know, you don't see that on NXT. You don't get to see that on there. So that's why that was my favorite aspect of the show, of Access. The memorabilia was really nice too. So when you had a kind of a slow match or every once in a while they brought on like Hacksaw Jim Duggan did a little Q&A with the fans. So that was nice. But you know what? I went and, you know, saw some of the memorabilia with you guys, and that was I love that stuff too. And I hope they actually make a real Hall of Fame where some of that stuff can go, and you can go and make a vacation out of that trip.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I totally agree with you there.
Yeah, and also with the physical Hall of Fame, you can actually have other things there. You know, you can say like this month is going to be, or this, you know, quarter will be these things going on. Like they'll have, you know, the original WCW belts or the evolution of them. You can do something like that. So that's why the physical Hall of Fame is a great idea. The Access, now, I did have fun with Access. Everything you guys said, I completely agree with. We have a really cool picture, actually multiple ones, one of three of us at the desk. And there's another one of Aaron and I at the desk as well. And, I mean, everything there was really cool. The wrestling matches were awesome. Doug taped a couple that I got to watch. I got to see the Nakamura match that they had at Access, which was really good, too. I mean, overall, and also the one thing that I didn't realize till we're over in that area. But when you're walking in, it's almost like you're walking down the ramp and they have entrance music going the entire time. So, which I thought was really cool. The one thing that I wish we could have done is done wrestler entrances. I wish we could have done that. But
I forgot about
that. I wish we could have picked which one, because then it would have been way better.
They had a limited amount of which ones you can do. They did have something there at Access that you can come down. They have the music. They have a little bit of ramp and they give you a title. There were some people that, you know, all they did was quickly run down the ramp and that was it. And then there was other people that really played into it and had a wonderful time. And you could see some every time with the kids, usually the crowd that's waiting in line really got behind it, started cheering. And that's a great thing for fans, that they made that moment for that kid a little bit more special by cheering or doing the chant or whatever they did to come down. And I thank God for wrestling fans like that make that moment for other people, not just themselves.
Absolutely. Totally echo Doug's thoughts. And for me, you know, I have two sons. I would totally take them there for that. I 100% would take them there so that way they could do the entrances. You know, it would be such a special moment for them. I think about like when I was 5 to 10 years old, you know, like I would have killed to do something like that. You know, I'd sit there and play with my wrestling buddies, you know, all the time. And, you know, I'm sure I probably did entrances in my own room or something, but to actually be able to act it out on that main stage, that's really cool. And I know those kids are going to love that moment. You know, just really awesome things. So Access was really cool. I would definitely do that again. Another thing, though, that we did do was the Hall of Fame. We chose to go a little bit later, though. The Hall of Fame last year was over 4 hours. And to be quite honest, I thought last year's Hall of Fame was lacking quite a bit. You know, we had inductions to inductions, or, you know, I'm going to introduce this person, introduce this person, to introduce this person. It was a little too much. So we decided we're going to go a little bit later so that way we can catch Sting. But we went early enough, so we saw a few other inductions into the Hall of Fame. I will say, for me, it was really cool to see some of the stuff that happened there. It was neat to see, people who were really happy to see these inductions. The Hall of Fame is definitely treated as a bigger event than what maybe I thought it was on TV. Not that I didn't think it was a big event, but it just seemed more grandiose, I guess.
Yeah, and you know, like, I echo what you're saying. The only thing I wish we would have just left a few minutes earlier so we got to see the Freebirds. That's it, because we got there and it was just funny. He just went down there. He only talked for a few minutes when we got there. Then he went out and sang and to his theme music, which I thought was pretty funny. But yeah, Hall of Fame.
Can you sing it, Andy?
No, I don't remember the song, the lyrics to the song. But I was happy to see Sting get inducted. I'll tell you the truth. I've never seen Roger laugh so hard, except when Ric Flair said something. And I'm trying to remember exactly.
Genetically superior.
And what he did with his finger. And watching him laugh and then seeing other people get the joke, just start rolling. I thought that was just, to me, that was a funny moment. Just seeing that. Just how many people got the joke. So, and they told him he went off script multiple times. But it was. He had a few cocktails in him. But overall, it was pretty good. I mean, Doug, what'd you think about Sting getting inducted?
I love that we were there for the Sting induction, and also his announcement of retirement. That was a little sad. That was the one time that I really noticed the crowd really chanting, the one more match or Undertaker, and you could see that Sting appreciated it. But you know what, if this is his time and he wants to hang up his boots, you know, he's had a storied career. He's had the great career. And he even mentioned that he's not he might be retired, but he's not done yet. So that kind of makes me wonder if he's going to come back in like a GM role or just be one of those people that just pops up every once in a while, like HBK did at WrestleMania. So you're still going to get to see Sting in the WWE and still involved in things, whether that be even be the Access signings or whatnot. But it was a moment. I kind of wanted to listen to Flair go on a little bit more. And that's one of the things that I've always enjoyed about the Hall of Fame is when the people go off a little bit and they tell a little bit of story or one other story. You know, my favorite part of the Sting speech was when he was talking about Kevin Nash and how he looked at Kevin Nash and asked him if he was okay, and he said yeah, and Kevin asked him if he was okay, and he said yeah, and then the next thing you know is Kevin's putting his arm around him and cuddling him in the middle of the ring. I mean, you don't get to see that stuff on TV, and I mean it is the breaking of it's a shoot. It is a shoot, absolutely a shoot. And it's wonderful, and I know Vince is probably sitting in the back going, oh, they can't do this. No, don't go off the script. You know, I even like seeing that when they do the behind the scenes of, the 24 or whatever. And I'm really looking forward to that for this WrestleMania weekend, seeing that 24 hours of that. So Hall of Fame was a wonderful event. It is too long, though, when it goes 4 hours.
And yeah, what do we do after Hall of Fame? Oh, that's when we did the trivia. Right.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We did trivia. We attempted to get food, which took. By the way, Dallas shuts down at 11 o'clock. I mean, like we could not get food at all, like anywhere.
On a
Saturday night. That's kind of crazy. The Hall of Fame. I just want to say real quick though. Obviously we've harked on the amount of people that you put into the Hall of Fame. Which I think the Hall of Fame, if it was like 2.5 hours to 3 hours, I think would have been perfect. I think that would have been ideal. We went a little bit later because of what we've experienced, watching it on TV and falling asleep. So, I cannot echo enough. Like 3 hours max. Like it should be 2.5 to 3 is what they need to do for next year.
Yeah, I think they should have 5 inductions, and then if you want to have your celebrity and also the Warrior Award, that's fine because the celebrity of the Warrior World. The Warrior Award should only be, you're talking maybe 20 minutes for both, and then the rest of them let them go, but really keep it max 3 hours. Like 2.5 is good, 3 hours is but after that it's pushing it. But yeah, this one was 3.5 hours. So, and they kept it pretty close. I think it was like 3:35 when it was all said and done. So,
yeah.
Now, of course, we had WrestleMania the following. We did.
Oh, we're not going to talk about the trivia.
Okay, so we'll talk about the trivia. I fell asleep while we're playing it. We had a guy. Was he from Australia? Is that right?
Melbourne, Australia.
Yeah, he actually played the game with us, and surprisingly, he was good at it. It was also surprisingly how good Roger was at it as well. Just like naming stuff off left and right. I'm like, man, I must have a horrible memory then. If some of these great questions, but.
When I was asking some of the questions too, I left a lot of things out. As you probably heard on one of our specials, friend of the show, Joe Snyder, was saying, I can't add all of this in there. So he said, what wrestler won the IC title? And then he added in there, what Native American wrestler? And it's like, oh yeah, I know. There's a question that was like, what Celtic warrior? Like, oh my God. Like, yeah, everyone knows who this is. So I was leaving things out to try to, you know, maybe make it go on a little bit longer, get some guesses in there. And Roger was still getting them regardless. And it was just like, how do you know this stuff? Like, I feel like a nerd and you are way worse than I am now. But Doug, you got one that was just absolutely fantastic. I said, which wrestler? And you go, John Cena, like in the middle. And I kept,
the question was, what superstar won? And I was like, John Cena.
And I kept
John Cena won.
Yeah. And I kept going with the question. And I think you guys just assumed that John Cena was not the answer. So you guys are throwing out every single thing. And then somebody was like, John Cena? And I was like, yeah, it was John Cena. So it was pretty funny. But it was a lot of fun. I mean, the trivia game was really cool to do. It was one of the extracurricular activities that we did. That and, of course, playing the Nintendo 64, No Mercy.
Yeah, we need a rematch.
We do. It was very unfortunate we weren't able to get it done that night, but
we'll do it. Didn't want a rematch because you guys would have lost way worse than you did the first time.
We'll see about that.
Yeah.
But so we had WrestleMania was the following day. We left. It was funny because where did we go? We went. I met you guys up. We ate at the, was it Italian place that we ate at?
No, that day was we did the brunch.
Yeah, oh, that's right. And then Aaron,
who did we meet?
Yeah, Aaron.
Oh, Rockstar Spud.
Yes. And by the way, he's shorter in person.
He's tiny. Yeah, I mean he's like 5'4" probably.
Yeah, like, Aaron totally went fanboy on him.
Well, yeah, I mean, like, well, he was sitting there eating. I wanted to be respectful. And so I said, you know, hey, I just want to
thank sir, Mr. Spud, sir. Oh, I love you, Spud. Oh, my. You are my favorite wrestler, sir. Oh, I can't. Do you remember when you did this? I mean, it was exactly like Chris Farley did his hosting of it. It was wonderful sight to see on my behalf.
I thanked him for, his matches that I've seen. I've always liked Spud. I always think he is one of the shining points of TNA right now. So, but no, I just thanked him real quick and then, you know, was off because, you know, he was eating.
Real quick. It was like 10 minutes of ass kissing.
I want to be real quick about it since he was eating and obviously we needed to go. So, yep. But yeah, we had WrestleMania. Of course, we talked about it on the WrestleMania special, the trials and tribulations that we had.
Let's just talk about when we got back, the line that they had for the buses.
I didn't think it was too bad.
I thought it was
long. Yeah, that wasn't bad at all.
Not when we left, but like when we left for the event, but we get back and the line was long as all get out. But then we were like, we need to get down there as soon as possible. We get there and there's like, what, 12 people on the bus, maybe?
I don't even think so.
Yeah.
I think it was like four.
And we're like we go all the way to the back because we're like, all right, there's going to be a bunch of people, blah, blah, blah. And then we wait for a long time and then we finally go. But I was shocked about that, but yeah, so we go. We won't talk about it anymore because you haven't heard, but I will say WrestleMania was really cool. When we finally got down to the ramp, I don't know if I said it, but I looked up because I can't say the exact word I said, but I said it and someone else said it as well, and I couldn't stop like looking, like seeing, like even the, I don't know if you want to say it's the 10 level that they had up there, just looking all the way at the top. You're like, oh my gosh. Like, and then you start looking around. Oh my gosh. You keep doing it over and over. You're like, this place is huge. And there's all these
those
fans.
Peasants sitting all the way up there. And while we're at the floor level.
Yeah, and that was really cool. I was really happy. Just seeing that was really cool.
And it really was. There were 100,000 people, or you know, at least close to it, depending on which source you you know, hear from. But it was really neat to see, though. It really was.
And especially the behind-the-scenes stuff that you don't see, like with the Budios and also with Triple H's entrance. Like, all that stuff was really cool, just because you don't expect to see stuff like that. So, but yeah, overall, and the fans around us were really good, too. I was really happy with that. So
we had some pretty good fans around us, and it was the same thing also for Monday Night Raw. We had some pretty good fans around us. I guess there were people yelling at us behind us, though. I didn't hear them.
I heard a couple times. No. They were yelling at the guys to basically sit down, and the three guys who were dressed up, and they kept getting up.
Yeah, they were drinking a lot. They were drinking quite a bit, and so they had to get up and use the bathroom and get more beer, and it was recycling basically. But the Raw was really cool, as we had talked about already. It was really neat to see you know, all the stuff that happened during the commercial breaks. Very rowdy crowd. Doug, what was your favorite chant that we did that night, would you say?
I would say, let's go beach ball sucks was my favorite chant of the night.
Not Beach Ball City?
Not Beach Ball City, but in a very, very close two is every time the ref counted to two and everybody yells, two!
Sweet! By the way. Mm-hmm. You can hear us. We are audible.
And that is awesome.
It's not as loud as, you know, we would like it to be, but you know, either way, it's still pretty cool.
But that is my two sweet second favorite thing we did that night.
I like the fact, maybe I didn't hear this last year, but the fact that people were chanting Sheraton, because that's where we stayed, and then travel package with the claps, and that came through. I could stop laughing about that part. The beach ball. Was it beach? What was the other one? There was
Beach Ball City, and then it's like, we want some
beach ball.
That's what it was. Yeah.
Hey, we want some beach ball. And then the Lucha Dragon. Beach ball.
Yeah, there were some great chants going. That was just one of those great experiences. I mean, Raw was awesome. I mean, it was so cool to see it all, and just seeing the crowd. I mean, I went up to the top of the ramp for a little bit, and it was funny. The security people, they were watching the event. I heard someone say something. I turned around. It was one of the security persons yelling at one of the wrestlers from the top of the ramp, which I thought was funny. She was embarrassed afterwards. You could see the look on her face. She was really embarrassed that, you know, I caught her. It was just really cool just seeing everyone there. And you could tell all those, I would say at least 90% of those are the hardcore smart fans that they don't like certain people, Roman Reigns. And then they chair certain people, Cesaro, AJ Styles, Kevin Owens, you know, guys who can wrestle, not just like kick punch. Oh, look, side slam, that he learned a new move. That was a great experience, and it was really good. I think the thing that was the funniest when it was all said and done. So we leave. It was actually really sad when we left because I was like, great, it's over with. But we leave and we go by this bar, and the Final Four is gone on. And I think there's like a minute left in the game. We're like, all right, we'll just stay and watch this real quick. And then the crowd starts coming around us, and that was pretty. I thought that was pretty cool, especially because I lost the pool. But you know, whatever. But Aaron, what was the highlight basically over the entire weekend for you?
All the wrestling. You know, the only thing I would have liked to have done differently would have been to check out WrestleCon. You know, but we probably would have had to get there. You know, Thursday night, and then we could have gone like Friday morning. Could have gone to WrestleCon. But that's the only thing. Like, if you know, for whatever reason, let's say, you know, a couple years, we do this again, that would be something I would add to the list. The Ring of Honor thing, while I would have liked to have seen Ring of Honor, I think that seeing that many wrestling matches might have really burned me out. I was a little worried about it, having seen. I mean, NXT was absolutely amazing, and then to see WrestleMania, which is the spectacle, and then to go see Raw. You add in there Ring of Honor on that Saturday, and you have four straight days of wrestling. that's a lot to take in. You know, that's an awful lot to take in. But I don't know if I had one favorite thing. I had a series of favorite things. I loved NXT. I loved seeing the spectacle of WrestleMania, and I loved the chanting and the cheers of Raw. You know, there was so much stuff that happened that weekend that it was absolutely fantastic, and I can't wait to do this again. I really can't.
And Doug?
I think the best way to say it is the best wrestling was on NXT. The show was WrestleMania, and the Raw afterwards was the epitome of fun. It just was absolute fun. The whole crowd experience for the Raw after was phenomenal. And WWE did a great job of setting it up to where Raw, they knew it was going to be the rowdy crowd. They're going to get hijacked. And they set it up to just basically play into what everybody wanted. You know, besides the Baron Corbin match that no one paid attention to because we were all paying attention to the beach ball, you know, everything else, they were able to maintain the people's attention. I know that wrestlers don't like the wave when it happens, and you could see Xavier trying a couple times to get the crowd to stop doing the wave, and eventually got him to stop doing the wave by saying, you know, you guys are cheering for Sheamus right now. And then all of a sudden, end of wave. It was kind of funny. But I have to say that my moment went to NXT, and it went to Shinsuke Nakamura versus Sami Zayn, just because all hands down match of the year, something I was very excited, being a fan of New Japan Wrestling, seeing him debut was absolutely the highlight of my weekend.
And basically for me, it was the experience just overall. And I really don't have, well, I have a couple of regrets. One, I'll say this now, wear comfortable shoes, because if you don't, you have blisters at the bottom of them and you don't recover. And they look, and the blisters don't go away until, well, now, besides 1 foot. Other than that, I wish we would have taken another group photo at either the Hall of Fame or at WrestleMania. That's, I guess, the only other things, but that, I mean, other than that, I was really happy with the whole experience. And you know, if I had to do it where I could watch one thing, I would actually just watch TakeOver with the NXT show. And then that's all I would really need. But WrestleMania is just, it's so awesome just to see it. And also to be at the AT&T Stadium. Maybe if they should have opened it so we could see the fireworks from the outside, but you know, you can't ask for everything, but. Overall, I was very happy with this experience. So that's all the time we have for this week's show. If you're into the Twitter, you can follow the show at AllTheMark86. I want to thank 86 Productions for hosting and editing the podcast. And I want to thank all of our listeners for taking the time to download and listen to the show. And for Doug Hahn and Aaron Hughes, I am Andrew Hughes. And until next time, see you in the ring.